Our scripture reading this morning is coming from Paul's writings in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 13, we start, "We are not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit."
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of Scripture and the other ones that we'll look at today as we praise you for freedom, both political and spiritual. Speak to every heart and lead my words and guide them so that we may hear what you want us to hear, that we may do what you want us to do, that we may feel what you want us to feel. For we know that freedom is only found in you and in your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is the day we celebrate political freedom. The American colonies were being controlled by European powers. They had no input in their government. Unfair taxes, no due process, people being arrested, and things like that. And I've got to tell you, for all our faults back then and now, we still live in a country that has so many blessings. My study in college was ancient history, and I don't think we fully realize how wonderful the freedoms have been. And even though our country is far from perfect, and on that 4th of July, freedom was not for everyone yet, it made a stride forward that the rest of the world followed. And we definitely celebrate that, because that freedom that spread throughout the world has given the opportunity for us to send people and proclaim the gospel. And it has greatly spread the news of Jesus. And so we praise the Lord for these freedoms and realize that we should not take them for granted, because most Christians in most ages, even today, do not have the freedoms we have, and yet the church can still thrive without the political freedom. Do you realize that the Bible talks about people without God being blind, lost, and enslaved? Let's read a few verses just to get on the page of the scripture. Jesus replied, "Truly, truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Blinded the minds, because he doesn't want them to see the light of the gospel. Luke 19:10, Jesus speaking of himself, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." And so with all of these metaphors, speaking of how we are spiritually blind, enslaved, and lost, we recognize that God came to change that situation, to undo it. And the people of his day had too small a view of what he came to do. They looked at only the political freedoms, which are beneficial and we celebrate. And the Jews did live under the authority of Rome, and that was oppressive in their day. And yet, Christ came for something much more profound and deep, to free the minds, the hearts, and the very souls of people who were stuck in this broken world. This is also one of the reasons why when people get angry at God over the state of the world, the Bible concedes that this world is lost, that this world is broken, that we are enslaved to our sin, and that you will find this stuff. And indeed, the only solution is to find God. And the reason that God does not intervene is that we are still attached at the hip to this dying world. And we are told his patience is so that more people may recognize their condition and be detached from this world and attached to Christ. And so we see that freedom comes in this lost, broken, enslaved world only in Jesus. Our first point comes from our first verse in the Old Testament, Psalm 119:45. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts, or your teachings. And God's road, God's path, God's highway leads to freedom. That's the metaphor that the psalmist is talking about here. Yes, we're in that longest chapter of Scripture here in Psalm 119 that talks about the Bible and uses 12 different words for the Bible. And this is one of those precepts, the teachings of the Lord. And the psalmist is not looking at the teachings of the Lord and the precepts and the commands and the explanations and all these things as constraining, but liberating. And that is the whole point of this verse. I walk about in freedom. I walk about in freedom. The Bible talks a lot about walking in paths. I suppose if they did nowadays, we'd have more driving and things like that. But the walking metaphor here is about freedom, because the word we translate freedom is literally the word for a broad, flat plain that's smooth. And so if we translate it literally, I walk about on a wide, smooth plain. That means everywhere you look is an option. Everywhere is freedom. You can go anywhere. You're not constrained by all the things around you. You don't have to worry about getting tripped up if you go the wrong way, because God's word puts out a great big area where you can wander. And that's why this word is used metaphorically of freedom, because it's a big, wide place where we can roam. And it's God's word that sets the boundaries, but those boundaries are not small. They're not tiny, they're huge. And these boundaries are all for our good. They just cut off so we don't walk off the cliff, or we don't get stuck in the tar pit. His boundaries give us freedom. And it's not a needless constraint. Indeed, I know sometimes the Bible says, "Thou shalt not," to things that I really want to do. And I know that at times I do not even understand why the Bible says not to do that. It has taken me years to get my head around some of those. And they keep falling into place, by the way. I said, oh, I see why he said that one. But all of them are for my benefit and yours, so that I don't trample you, so that I don't wander into something that's bad for me unwittingly. Years ago, my friends and I were backpacking, ran into one of those dreaded trail close signs, and it recommended an alternate route that was several miles further. And we already were putting in, I think, 19 miles before we'd camp. And so we did not want to put in 2.5, 3 more miles onto this trip. And so my friend convinced us to, we can get by, we can take the old trail. It didn't explain how, but we went up a mile and a half or so, and the whole side of the mountain had come down in a narrow part of the canyon, and it was just loose dirt and a raging river that was impassable. So either we had to cross a raging river with no bridge, or we had to climb into the loose stuff and fall into the raging river. We turned around and went back. Instead of adding 2 or 3 miles, we had 4.5 or 5 miles. You see, this sign was not taking away our freedom. It was giving us our freedom. Now, I still wish they would have said, why not to go that way? But this is God's word. Many times it tells us the whys. But when God tells us to do something or to not do something, it's always for good reason. Because God is love and God is good. And he's saving you, or he's saving the people who live around you. Perhaps the most important word here, besides this word for freedom, is the word to seek. Because this is how we access this freedom. And it is seeking God's route through his word. And so he tells us, I have sought. I can walk about in freedom because in the past I sought your way. I looked for your path. And when I followed your path, it opened up into this broad plain where I can go anywhere I want. It's because I prioritize doing what you wanted instead of getting my way. That's why I am free, because God will lead you into that place of freedom. And so this tells me my freedom is most threatened not by outside influences, but by me, myself, and I. Because I can constrain my life to something less than what God designed it to be. When I buck away from his path and say, no, I want to go this way. It doesn't have to even be an evil way, by the way. It just has to be something where God is not calling us to be. And it may look so good, but we do not see the future as God does. And so when I wander away from God, even for something as good, we lose the best. My last church, we had a lady with mental illness who was homeless. We got her out of homelessness long term. But she used to bring her dog into church, little yippy dog. And it was barking during one of the services, so the usher said, sorry, you're going to have to take your dog out. And she got terribly offended because that dog was her son in her mind. There's a type of slavery, wasn't that, that was mental illness. She's one of the type that when she took her meds, she was fine. When she didn't take her meds, her dog became her son. And by the way, she had a son who loved her. But that's me. And it's not because I'm not taking my meds. It's because I get off of God's way and I don't see the truth. And I still remember when we were able to locate her son and reunite them, first time in over 10 years, by the way. How wonderful it was for her not just to have a little yippy dog that she had found in the streets, but to truly have a son. And to be able to appreciate the son that she bore and raised. That yippy dog. I'm not against dogs, by the way. But come on, it's not going to pass for your son, your flesh and blood, who loves you. And so the freedom was getting reality. And when we walk God's way, he gives us the best, not a substitute. Our second verse today is from 2 Corinthians, two of the verses that Dennis read for us. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and by the way, you who are online, I'm not sure who's reading for you, so I just made a faux pas. I'm not supposed to say that, unless Dennis, you're reading for the next service too. Because this service is being recorded for the ones online, and I will be outside during the 10:30 service that's online. Freedom is found, and we can add this word, only in God. Spiritual freedom is offered in many places. Emotional freedom is offered by many people, but only God gives it. Now, the Lord is a spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, that is a place of freedom. The last song we sang was dependent upon this verse and celebrating this verse. The background is Moses' veiled face. Of course, when he spent all his time with God, it's like one of those old things you'd hold up to the light and then it'd glow afterwards. I melted Jesus, by the way. I put it on top of my light because I thought if I'd leave it on top of the bulb, he conformed to the light bulb. One of my VBS presents for memorizing like 30 verses, and now he's a light bulb shaped instead of Jesus shaped. But this is sort of what Moses was doing. When exposed to the light, he continues to glow afterwards. And so we're talking about the veil, and maybe at first it was to keep from being all glowy, but then it was to say that it's fading. And this is the background. But it teaches us that the Spirit has many jobs, and one of those jobs that the Holy Spirit brings is he empowers liberation for us. And when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. That happens because Jesus died on the cross, rose victorious from the dead, ascended on high, and sent the Holy Spirit out and poured the Holy Spirit out on all flesh on Pentecost. And so now when we receive Jesus, the Spirit of the living God, in some metaphysical way, in some spiritual way, is within us, within our being. And he is the one that advocates for our spiritual freedom to be worked out as much as it is declared. We've been said that we are free in Christ, but he's the one that's going to make it take on flesh in the way we live and act. And so where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, empowered to transform. When I was a kid, my best friend saw an ad for Charles Atlas's dynamic tension. He was a bodybuilder years ago. You can look it up on Google if you're too young for this. But every comic book had one of these at the back, and sea monkeys. They're brine shrimp. Sorry, you don't get monkeys. You get brine shrimp. And they stink. Especially if you'd leave them too long. And so dynamic tension. And, you know, he sent away $1.98 for this booklet on how he could look like Charles Atlas. It was all about isometrics and flexing, by the way. I saw the booklet. You're supposed to... And this is supposed to make you into a bodybuilder. In 5 minutes a day! Mike did not become Charles Atlas. He does not today look like Charles Atlas. I think he did 15 minutes a day. If you wanted to look like Charles Atlas, you had to follow Charles Atlas around. You had to eat what he ate. You had to do what he did. Right? No quick fix. This contemplating. This is a word in Greek which means to see clearly in a mirror or to see a clear reflection. And so when we look at the clear reflection, this is why Thomas a Kempis called his book The Imitation of Christ, because Christ is the God become man that became our model for all humanity. And so when we look at the Word and we look at the life of Christ, we become more like Him in how He thought and how He felt and how He acted. And I've told you before, but one of the problems with the "what would Jesus do" bracelets is a lot of people didn't know what Jesus would do. They defined it any way they wanted. They needed to see it in the Word. And they needed to submit to the Holy Spirit. Because we do not by default look like Charles Atlas. And we do not by default live like Jesus. The Spirit gives us that ability. And when we submit to the Spirit and we say, "I want to be what you want me to be, I want to be like Jesus," when we look into that mirror of Jesus, and we will not become gods, by the way, but we'll become more morally like Him, more spiritually like Him, we'll become like Him in His humanity, then we see that freedom is found in becoming more like Jesus. Our third point, well, I guess I have a second point on this one. Freedom is found in transformation, a sub-point. Nope, I already did that too. Our third point is freedom brings opportunity. You have to understand that, like, the first 15 years of my ministry, I memorized my sermon. I memorized the main points and all the sub-points and every illustration, things like that. And then I started to do sermon-based small groups. And if I decided to skip a point, everybody goes, "What?" So now I have all these outlines I give you and things like this. And by the way, I hate outlines. I don't never take notes. But this is for the 80% of you that like it. And so with that, I just actually preached it without, looking down. So I apologize for that. And then I went to a slide that was worthless. Freedom brings opportunity. Opportunity. You, my brothers and sisters, Galatians 5:13, were called to be free. I want you to look at that and read that first phrase with me. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Isn't that profound? But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And so our first sub-point is freedom is our birthright in the second birth, the new birth. When we're born again, or born from above, when we're born in Christ, this gives a birthright. The birthright of Adam is I inherited rebellion and sinfulness and slavery to that sin. But the birthright in Jesus is freedom from that. And so we're supposed to live in freedom. And so do not let the Christian life be a bunch of rules. Make it be about love for God who loves us and love for others who God loves. And the law always will point us to true love. But just be careful, because I tend to define love without the Spirit very selfishly. The Bible is loving. And so we see this deals with legalism is slavery, licentiousness, using our freedom to feed my lust, is slavery. The only thing that is free is living with the Spirit, doing what God designed me to do. To love as He loves. To forgive as He forgives. To serve as Jesus served. And so freedom is our birthright. This could be a word for calling, inviting, or even naming someone. So it's a pretty strong word. You've been called, or you've been invited, or you have been named to be free. There's something that has changed within us. And so we are supposed to become something different. And this is an opportunity. I'm reading a novel. I read a lot of books because I'm a speed reader. A seventh grade teacher taught me how to read really fast, so I use that to go to sleep every night. Where the protagonist is a homeless orphan who discovers he's a long-lost lord. Oh, yes, I know. You've read seven of those books. Yes, so have I. His life is changed by this unknown birthright. This is what happens to us in Jesus. We realize that we are not who we thought we were. We are not limited by what we once thought we were limited. That in Christ, a lot of doors open. And a lot of things that enslaved us, we can now leave behind. It may not be easy, because maybe we walked in that slavery for a long time and we practiced it, and we'll have to unlearn habits, but we can live differently through the power of God. And so we're not supposed to squander this freedom to live as we once lived. We're supposed to use the power of this freedom to go where God wants us to go. And to say, that way was the old way. I do not like the old way. People don't like me when I'm that old way. And I'm going to use this freedom to follow God to the place he's designing me to live. And so it's not for indulging the flesh. Jesus Christ was God-man. He was totally free. And he used his freedom to choose again and again and again to serve others, ultimately serving them by becoming their sin and atoning for it on the cross. He lived in perfect freedom about other people. It's a key point here. I will desire to do things that are wrong and bad for me. I will desire to do things that will hurt you, either directly or over time indirectly. Everyone has different inclinations and different temptations that allure them. The problem is the acting upon them, not the fact that they are there in which they are. Oh, the world plays a lot of games with this. Which one of these inclinations are worse than others? No. Just forget that. It's not about which one is worse. The problem is when we give in to the selfishness. When we give in to the way that is not the way God oriented this world. And so, freedom is to serve in love. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Oh boy, that just took away the way I was going to do it. Hey, look at me, I'm serving. Da-da-da-da, shine the light. I got to do it humbly too? My mother-in-law used to make lists of things she'd already done so she could check it off and show it to you. I understood that, though. I don't think she was actually trying to trumpet it. I think she was trying to get a sense of accomplishment so she'd keep working on things. But do we do it? Because that's who we are and who we're becoming. Who we are and who we're becoming. I know by human nature I am selfish. But I know through the Spirit and through the freedom he gives, I can live more and more like Jesus. He has set me free from the consequences of my sin already. He can set me free from the power of my sin and selfishness. That is where we walk and say, God, this day is your day. When we say that, we are more free than any other day we live. When I have my entire plan laid out and say, God, just wait, I'll get to you tomorrow, that's not freedom. That's walking into the old way where I'm blind and lost and enslaved, because only God can lead me to the way. And by the way, have you learned that when you serve and when you love, even if you're not recognized by that, that is the way that fulfills your very soul. Because we were created in the image of God, who is loving and serves. And when we live in accordance with the image after which we were created, that is where satisfaction rests. And so when I get my way contra yours, I am stepping out of the way of harmony. When I put your way first, and when you are fighting to put my way first, that, my friends, is the sweet spot. When in a family, when in a church, everyone is trying to serve. Somebody has to say, okay, you just have to stop and receive it now. You can't serve always. That's a good place to be. Because everyone is acting like Jesus. Our application points. Spend some time today praising God for our political and our spiritual freedom. And by the way, if you do not know that spiritual freedom, now would be a good time to admit that you are lost, that you are enslaved, and that you admit that you are a sinner. Be a good time to believe that Jesus came to seek and to save you when you were lost, and to say, I receive your forgiveness. And get that spiritual freedom. But thank God for that spiritual freedom. Secondly, tell somebody your story of finding freedom in Jesus. Let someone else know what you found so that they have a chance to have it too. And thirdly and finally, spend some time meditating on a choice of your Bible verse focused on the attributes of God. Perhaps it's his love, perhaps it's a service, perhaps it's his greatness. But let us spend time focusing on the one we're becoming more like. I know, high theology, well, there's communicable and incommunicable attributes of God. Sounds like diseases, it's not. The ones that are communicable, we get. The ones that are incommunicable, like his infinity, we don't. But focus on those ones we're becoming like. His character and his love.